This episode of the Off the Bench podcast is brought to you by the Alibaba Group. I'm Chris Miller of NBC Sports Washington. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We're on location here in Las Vegas. We've had a couple of games under our belt to see the rookie Johnny Davis. At the time of this recording, the team is 1-1. So on this episode, we're going to sit down with President and General Manager Tommy Shepherd to get his take on Johnny's progression, what he likes, what he needs to work on before the regular season begins. Also, we'll talk about Bradley Beal's extension and his leadership and some of the new players that have arrived and how those players with their veteran experience can help the Wizards potentially get themselves back into the playoff conversation. All right, after a brief timeout, we'll come back and we'll talk to the president and basketball operations, Tommy Shepherd, on this edition of the Off the Bench podcast. So we're out here in your old neck of the woods. Before we even start talking basketball, you've got great Vegas stories. For people that don't know, kind of talk about your time here in Las Vegas.
You know, I was here in 1991, my first job out of college. I was the assistant sports information director at UNLV. Within 6 weeks, I was promoted to the sports information director. I worked with the football coach, the basketball team at the time. Jerry Tarkini was the head coach, the running Rebels. And I was here 91 to 94. I worked with Coach Tarkany and Coach Massimino. Met my wife here. She was a swimmer. It was three of the greatest years of my life. We had a great time, but life moves on quick.
All right, I got to ask you about, because the running Rebs, they're probably somebody that are watching this and listening to this podcast. They're too young to know about this, and this is a total Google moment. Can you describe what it was like that time when the running Rebs were cooking?
It's the closest thing to the Chicago Bulls in college basketball. The following, everybody that was chasing them. And I think afterwards you saw a little bit of that with the Fab Five. But the Rebels, especially 90, 91, those teams were, they were as big as it got. It was like the Beatles everywhere you went. Mm-hmm. Just a tremendous basketball team, one of the greatest teams that never won a title, obviously, was the 91 team. But the 90 team, biggest differential in NCAA history, which actually happened in the Denver's McNichols Arena where I used to work with the Denver Nuggets. So UNLV's been part of my life.
Let's do Summer League first since we're in Vegas, and then we'll get to the free agents. So we've got this small two-game sample size of Johnny Davis. And you know how the world that we live in, it's instant gratification. But from your perspective, from your lens, what have you seen so far from him?
Well, and you were there, it's actually a three-game sample. We had a scrimmage with Miami. And the games that we're playing, you're looking to see character, you're looking to see work ethic, you're looking to see the competitive gene. You know, and that's for a rookie who hasn't played a single game in the NBA, his last game was his last college game. It was very gratifying to see his ability to compete, not get distracted, never get too high, too low, doesn't stop, and he never stopped defending. I think that's really important to see. That's how he's going to get minutes. We got plenty of scoring, you know, but if he can go out there and get stops, he can hit shots at the end of the clock. If he can create for others and create for himself, he's going to find a home with us real fast.
I thought it was really interesting right after the first game talking to him. He was really in perspective of it. He understood that there was work to be done. And then the very next day, you talked to him, and you could tell that he thought about that the night before, got some sleep, maybe didn't get no sleep, but he wanted to come back and kind of atone. Is that kind of – take us behind the veil of how you guys were evaluating him before the draft. Was that part of his DNA that you noticed about how he's able to take negatives and turn them into positives?
Oh, 100%. You're talking about a guy that was a three-star recruit coming out of high school. Wasn't widely recruited, didn't have a lot of people kissing his butt. First year, really didn't do a whole lot at Wisconsin. Got picked for a USA basketball camp, went out there, made the team, forced his way onto the team. Came back second year at Wisconsin, he's a Big Ten Player of the Year. So you're looking at somebody that understands the mission. He understands how to take the information, go back to the lab, come back with something stronger. And so that, you know, the time that we spent watching his games, doing background, filling in all the gaps, as you know, that you have to do in the draft. We were very pleased with what was going to be ahead of it for us. I think you have to be so patient in little games like this here where, hey, there's not very many NBA players out on the floor. He's working through a lot of different things. But what I just keep going back to is the kid loves to compete, and he loves to defend. He loves to make plays, and he's a great teammate. And that's going to fit in perfectly with what we have. I know this. After his first game, he woke up, had a text from one Bradley Beal, said, hey, you're the best player on the floor, act like it, let's go, get going, pick it up. keep your head up. Don't ever get down. You're doing great. You know, that encouragement coming from somebody like Bradley, what that means to a young kid like that, I can't even tell you. But I'm guessing you'll continue to see improvement. But we've seen a lot out here. We saw a lot in our mini camp. We saw a lot in college. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Brad has always talked to young players about him. Embrace your journey. There are going to be highs and lows. You've been here long enough. You know how it works. What do you want to see? First of all, will he continue to play summer league games, or have you guys kind of seen enough and be like, hey, kid, we'll see
you? No, he's going to continue to play. We want to see this through. You know, hopefully he goes through injury-free, but it's spaced out enough, too. He's got enough rest. He's rested all, you know, since the offseason last year, so it's time to get in there and get some games in. Time is so limited. You know, we're going to leave here. We're going to try to get together in August, and then, you know, after Labor Day, everybody's going to be back in D.C., and we're going to Japan September 27th, so it's going to come fast. So we want to get as much mileage out of these guys here as possible. Evaluation, I think, really important was the bonding time. We had six roster players come out here at different times. Everybody touched on Johnny and gave him advice, gave him some love, and I think it really resonated with him.
The beauty of Summer League, and also maybe one that kind of pulls your hair, is, like you said before, there's some guys out here that's hungry. They're fighting for their basketball lives. So when you put a kid out here who's a high draft pick, it could go one or two ways for him, right? You got the dogs that are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you evaluate Summer League? I know, because I get fans ask me this. Well, how come the second-year Wizards players don't play in Summer League? You have a theory behind that. Like, what is your philosophy on kind of like using Summer League for what it is?
Well, we continue to shine the spotlight on people that we need to make evaluations on. When you already have evaluations on some guys, I think, you know, sometimes people can read into too much. But, you know, Corey Kispert was in minicamp with us, did everything we asked him to do. He scrimmaged against Miami. He's great. I think the next piece, when you look at where Danny's headed to, Danny's going to be in the Eurobasket qualification to try to take Israel further than they've ever been. He's getting ready to go into a very serious training camp and stuff. I don't think we want to lose him in any of these games here. You know, if you're susceptible to injury whatsoever, it's wise to go ahead and let him keep training. He's put in the time this summer. I think he's going to have a fabulous season. And you know, the focus needs to be on Johnny. Needs to be with Isaiah, Jordan Shackle, Jordan Goodwin. You know, we have some go-go players here working their way through some stuff. Jaime Echenique, all these guys that we want to continue to evaluate. And we have some new kids that we're evaluating. Quentin Jackson, Davion Mintz have done a tremendous job for us as well.
Tommy, I think that's important to kind of explain that to the fans so they understand that there's reasoning for these second years players not playing in Summer League because of overseas commitments, or you've just seen enough. You know that this kid's going to be in the rotation kind of moving forward. I want to get to free agency, but I want you to correct me if I'm wrong on this.
Chances are you're never wrong.
No, but this one, I'm kind of looking at this roster, Tommy, and it really makes sense to me. The pieces make sense. Sometimes when I look at a roster, I go, I don't, there's an identity with this team. Would you agree with that? And then the follow-up is what do you think the identity of this team is once they get together?
You want to have that gritty city feel. It's time. We've been committing a lot of action this summer to what we keep saying, we got to get better defensively. And we came into free agency with non-tax mid-level play to be able to add a player. That exception was the only way we were going to be able to add somebody. We just kind of looked through opportunities to get better. Very important contract for our franchise we acquired at trade deadline was Ish Smith, one of the greatest people. I know he's fond to you and myself, but that contract allowed us instead, we flipped and went to Denver, traded for Monte Morris, Will Barton, and it really hurt to lose. You know, Pope is one of my favorite. We call him Pro. He was one of the greatest pros we ever had, but they wanted him at deadline. That deal didn't go through. We revisited it. We needed a point guard. Monte Morris is going to be fantastic for us. I look at the addition of Will Barton, a guy who can create, can start, guard multiple positions. Monte is one of the highest rated defenders in the NBA, as is Will. Then you sign DeLon Wright. With that non-tax mid-level, now all of a sudden you got three players kind of for the price of one, and Ish Smith got guaranteed. Pope's going to be playing with the MVP. Everybody wins.
Yeah. Isn't that the best part of those deals when you're talking to fellow GMs? Is like, you don't want – we always hear about who got fleeced, who won, who lost. But this one, like, both teams can say, hey, man, we got what we wanted out of the deal.
And that's absolutely it. That was really one of the great benefits of getting Will and getting Monte, is those two guys – They've been with Wes. They were with him for 5 years and 6 years. They won 60% of their games, and they know what Wes expects. And that kind of helps evangelize to the masses, the unknown. Hey, this is what coach means here. And it just gives Wes a little bit more sweat equity in that locker room.
You know, when you look into a locker room, it's invaluable to have veterans that have kind of gone through the rigors. So when Brad walks into this locker room now, it looks a little bit different.
Certainly.
A lot different. With a lot of guys who have sweat equity in this league. How do you think he looks at this team right now? I'm sure you've had conversations with him coming off of him signing his extension.
Mm-hmm. I think Brad is excited about the opportunity to play with Kristaps Porzingis. They never got to play together. He's never had an offensive threat, an offensive weapon like that, a 7-foot-3 guy. Usually bigs either dunk or shoot threes. This guy can do both, and he's a great rim protector. Then you add the experience pieces that we have with the rotation guys the last 3 years that we've drafted with Rui, with Denny, with Corey. I think Bradley sees a lot of depth, but a lot of competition for minutes, and that's the best kind of teams that you can possibly want. They're all high-character guys. And all these guys that we brought in come from winning. Delon Wright was in the conference finals a year ago. Has been routinely one of the better defenders in the NBA. So Bradley loves, there's a guy that can guard at the end of games, take the other player's best player, free Bradley up to do a little bit more. I think there's opportunities, I think, to extend when he's out of the game. Maybe we can extend his minutes on the bench a little bit, give him a little bit more breather so he's ready at the end of the games. And, you know, just try to take a little bit of the load off of him. I think for the last few years we were kind of undermanned and under-talented and asked him to do a lot more. And now I think it's going to be a little bit of a relief to him. The thing that I think excites him the most is that he sees that, you know, 2 years ago we lost to Philly in the playoffs. And, you know, we said that we've got to get better. And there's only 5 players left from that team. We've added 10 new players since the start of last season. And all those guys you're talking about, Kuz, who won a ring, talked about Delon Wright, Monty Morris, talk about the addition of Will Barton. Like, those guys come from winning places. And they definitely know the mission. And they've all had starter minutes in the NBA. It's only going to help in terms of the spreading the wealth and spreading the load for Bradley. And then I think he's so excited about what Corey was able to do last year. He made the most of his minutes. Seeing Rui after Rui came back and shooting over 40 from three. And then certainly I think everybody sees the potential that Denny has to be he can guard the other team's best player.
You know,
guard 1-5.
Sorry about that. You know, it's no secret that you're not afraid to flip a roster.
Yeah.
I think of 29 players from last year. But I want to go back to the Russ deal. What was your thought process that we're going to take that contract and whatever we get in terms of the players that we acquire, was there ever a thought of maybe you were going to flip those anyway, or that was just the circumstance of 35 wins last year?
No, I think it's the circumstance of opportunities to get better.
Okay.
You know, I would have been happy Pope spent the rest of his career with us here, but when opportunities come up, my job is to do the very best thing for the Washington Wizards. And it's a very difficult thing because, as you know how I feel about trades, they just tear you up. But ultimately, hey, everybody's in the NBA, everybody's getting better situations wherever they're headed to, and who's coming in here gets great opportunities. So it's a good business. I think it's one of the hardest things to look at it when you're trying to settle your roster down is you want that continuity. But the only way you get to continuity is when you're winning, you know, and you have to be patient, but I'm patiently persistent. We're going to continue to keep looking for opportunities to get better. You know, and the cap situation is what it is. Very few teams have cap space this summer. The ones that do aren't really using it. You know, New York used theirs, but other teams, everybody's kind of sitting on it. I think you're going to see the future of the NBA. You know, a lot of times free agency is going to end up being more trade-oriented than spending money. And for us, those opportunities started at deadline by acquiring Kristaps. Can you imagine going into free agency, we didn't have Kristaps here? You know, there's a lot that goes into every decision we make, I think, is well thought out. We certainly try to do the very best so that, to your point, both teams win, both teams feel great about it, but you got to continue to push. And to get talent, you have to have talent. And we found out at deadline, we found out before the draft, people want these players that we have. We've got some great young players that people are excited about. Well, so are we.
Yeah.
It's kind of time to let's go ahead and let this thing get together, let everybody get familiar with each other and see what we have.
We won't know until they get on the floor, but I called last year after the trade deadline, research and development. This was a chance for these kids to actually really get real in-game live
Certainly.
Action. Were you satisfied with what you saw from those kids that when they come into camp this year, that R&D actually worked and it benefited them?
Oh, certainly. And we saw with Denny, Wes, his staff have been up in the plains all over the country headed to places where our players are, and they raved about Denny's progress. I've seen quite a few clips of what he's doing this summer to get better. Rui was out here for over a week working with our coaches. Everybody couldn't be more thrilled about him shooting the ball. And then Corey came in minicamp and was tremendous. So we know their progress is being made. Daniel Gafford has been here. He is going to be tremendous with these guards. Monty Morris is so excited to play with him because there's a lob threat, rim protector, rim runner, getting everybody in their right spots. And I think that's so important. And I think the most important thing for us now is to continue to figure out ways to be most creative offensively for Bradley, for KP, because Kuz is going to be able to jump in there and do what he does. Everybody's going to be able to score. Everyone's going to be able to eat, and I think that's a great thing to look forward to.
Last question in terms of business. You've got 2 point guards. Would you like to get a third one, and how do you go about doing that with the constraints financially that you guys have? Yeah,
certainly, we're at 15 right now. I look at Bradley as a third point guard. Okay. He averaged over 6 assists last year, and there's going to be times where we're going to have 3 point out on the floor. You know, we think Danny's a secondary ball handler. We know DeLong can do that. Monty can do that. You can finish games with those two and Bradley. There's so many different options for Wes. I think we can go long when the league goes long on us. We can play small ball. We can spread it out. We can really do quite a few things. So that's what I think the key for us is to continue to get versatile, be able to have guys who can guard multiple players, but guys who can fill it up, that's important. Guys who can get stops, more important.
Again, the personality of this Washington Wizards team looks like it's grind time.
Yes, sir.
And that's an exciting thing.
We really, you know, you go through this, it's difficult. I understand the plight of people when you want so badly to have success, and we build for success. There's no shortcuts, and you can't force something. If you see something that's better opportunity, you got to keep moving for your team. I'm going to stand by this. Wes Unstel is still one of the best free agents we had last summer, and he's going to be tremendous. His staff, he's going to be a great coach, and I think now he's got a couple more pieces to work with. And like I said, Chris, if we can just get everybody to commit to being the very best teammates they can be, I know the talent's going to take over. I know if we can get everybody to commit on the defensive end, you're going to see a tremendous jump from this team this year.
Excited for it to see the outcome of all the work you guys put in the offseason. I tell you what, they don't check passports. What's the saying you give me?
We don't check IDs. We don't check passports.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man. As always.
Hydrate your station now. Come on out here in the desert. Thanks for having me on, man.
Thank you.
Take care.